On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he and his 12 disciples came together to eat the Passover meal. And after supper, he prayed to our Heavenly Father. We read in John's Gospel, beginning in chapter 17, verse 1, where Jesus begins this prayer. He says, "These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, 'Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.'" Jesus is saying in this prayer that eternal life is related to knowing the Father and the Son whom he sent. In fact, one of the main points of John's Gospel is that the believer will have eternal life. In John 20, beginning in verse 30, we remember these famous verses. "Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name." So how can we know our God better so that we can ensure ourselves of eternal life? That's what we all want, eternal life. God needs to be real to us. He needs to be so real that we want to adore him and that we want to serve him. And my lesson tonight is going to focus on some of the characteristics of God that will help us know him better. Notice in verse 3 of this John 17, it says that, "And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So let's focus on knowing God and how we can know him better. Paul wrote in the Roman letter, chapter 1 and verse 20, For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes," and talking about the Father, God the Father, "his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." Now God is a spirit. Can't see his spirit. I haven't seen God, have you? We just can't see God. And yet Paul is saying we can see his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature. How? By what he has made. In fact, he says we're without excuse for not knowing about God. And this is the argument based on the grand design of the universe. As we look out at our universe and we see how it functions, and the sun rises and the sun sets, and the moon comes out and makes its course over some 28 days. We have the various seasons and we just see everything working so well in harmony. This is evidence that there is a God. David tells us in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices at a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from his heat. It's saying, you know, look at the heavens and see the glory of God. We see the sun, we see the moon, we see the stars. The question is, how is God speaking to us through them? Jeremiah 32, verses 17 and 18 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee, who showest loving kindness to thousands, but repayest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. We can see the great power of God in his creation of the heavens and of the earth. You know, if God can do that, he can do anything. He keeps this universe running smoothly. Our planet Earth provides for all of our physical needs. Nowhere else in our solar system is it possible to sustain life. You know, we're sending probes out, we're looking now, we've looked with telescopes, but now we actually send satellites out. Pretty soon we're going to have a satellite that's going to land on one of Saturn's moons. Within, I think, the next month, we're going to be getting information like we've landed on Mars. No place for us to be. Will not support human life. In fact, I just finished reading a book by Fred Heron, and it was called Show Me God. And he's actually interviewed many of today's leading scientists about this subject. You know, what's unique about our solar system and our planet about supporting human life? And it's very interesting. One of the things that's interesting is that none of these scientists are going to admit that the universe speaks out that there's been a designer. And yet they say, you know, it's amazing that the universe even exists because there are so many precise things that have to be followed. I mean, it's just amazing because it's so fine-tuned. If, for instance, you know, if our Earth's orbit was just a little different than it is, we wouldn't be able to live. And all those kinds of things. And so this fine-tuning, you know, sort of speaks to the fact that, well, somebody designed it. In Hebrews 11, the chapter, the Hall of Faith, it starts out, it says, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. And then in verse 3 it says, By faith we understand that the worlds prepared were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. There were no witnesses to the beginning of our universe. Nobody saw how God created the universe. And yet all of us here tonight believe that this magnificent cosmos was just spoken into existence. And we believe that by faith. However, I believe, as Kieran said this morning, that we're talking about a blind faith here. We can see the testimony of God's hand in this creation. Paul told us in Romans 1 that we can see the invisible attributes of God, his eternal power and his divine nature, by just looking at what was created. And so tonight, in the time that I have left, I want to take a little of your time to give you a small, and I mean small, appreciation of what God has created in this magnificent universe. You know, the sheer size of the universe should blow us away. This is a, can you see that now? Not real well. That's a depiction of the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is a galaxy. And it's the galaxy in which our sun is one of the stars. And our sun is a typical star. And the galaxy is made up, now it's kind of estimated, that there's over 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. 100 billion suns in the Milky Way. Notice we have this sort of spiral kind of formation. There's over 100 billion stars. If we would try to measure the distance across the spiral, the outer spiral arms, the number that scientists would come up with is that this distance is 100,000 light years. Now, I'm not going to go into how they come up with that number, but just accept that. I'm trying to give you an idea how big the Milky Way is. Okay, well, what's a light year? I mean, you see, we've got some new units here. 100,000 light years. Well, a light year is how far light travels in a year. They got a feel for how that is? Well, let me tell you about the speed of light, first of all. Pretty fast. 186,000 miles per second. Got a feel for that? Probably not. 186,000 miles per second. That's approximately 7 trips around the Earth in 1 second. 7 times. 7 times. Pretty fast. Okay, so now we have to know the speed of light in a second, how far it travels, 186,000 miles. But I said a light year is how far light travels in 1 year. So, up here in the front row, passing notes between each other. You writing down this stuff? Good. Tell me, how many seconds in a year? Brent, you got that off the top of your head? 60 seconds. All right, so did you see what he said? 60 seconds in a minute. All right, and this one is 60 minutes in an hour. How many hours in a day? 24. How many days in a year? 365 and a quarter. Not 365, 365. This year's leap year. We had an extra day, so every 4 years. That number, there it is. That's the number of seconds in a year. Not just 31 million plus or minus seconds in a year. Okay, so now we know how many seconds there are in a year. But we got to multiply that by 186,000 miles per second. So now we're getting up there, right? Oh, 1,000 million billion trillions, right? Am I doing okay? Okay, but wait a minute. That's just for 1 light year. So, we got to multiply that by 100,000. Because that's the you know, 100,000 light years is the distance between the spirals. So remember, this is thousands, billions, trillions, billions, quadrillions. So we have about 586 quadrillion miles. Sounds pretty big to me. Next picture we're going to show you here is just kind of a picture showing the distance across the top 100,000 light years. And this picture shows where our sun is located in the spiral. Our sun, our star, and the 100 billion stars. I need to go back. I forgot to make a point. Talking about all these big numbers here. Let's see if I can find this. Maybe it's coming up in the future, and I didn't. It's going to come up in the future. So there's the sun, and this is the side view. This spiral is actually, if you look at it on the side, is a disk, more like a disk. So this is the side view of our galaxy. So you're looking at it sideways. You just see kind of this bulge of stars here, and then these other stars out in the spiral on, and that's looking down on it. So that's our little galaxy that we're in, 100,000 light years across, all those quadrillion miles across there. One of these days we'll get in our little trusty spaceship and make a trip. Okay. This is an actual photograph of another galaxy. It's been named the Andromeda Galaxy. It is the closest galaxy to us. And this galaxy is a mere 750,000 light years away. Just a mere 750,000 light years. That's 7.5 times further than the distance across our galaxy. Now let's suppose, I'm going to give you another idea of how we can think about this distance. Let's suppose I wanted to talk to somebody on Andromeda. I don't know if you know this or not, but Tom and I are both licensed amateur radio operators. Yeah, you know that, right? So we can talk to people with our radios. We can point our antennas towards Andromeda. I can send a message up there. Okay, so I send a message. Hello, how you doing? And give my call sign, of course. I have to stay within the rules. And message travels up there, and immediately it's received, and they turn around and say, "We're doing fine," and they send it back. Well, all on track on track. Well, it's 186,000 miles per second, seven times around the world, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's going to take a long time. Did I ever calculate that number? Probably not. It's going to take 750,000 years for the message to get there, because my radio beam is going to travel at the speed of light. It's going to take 750,000 years for the message to come back. So in 1.5 million years, the message will be there. But I won't. Now Tom will be there. He's younger than me. Hey, we'll have to Liam. Liam will have to be the ham that receives that message. Okay, that's just to give you an idea. Now that's the closest galaxy to us. Okay? You know what? There are over 100 billion galaxies in the universe. There are 100 billion stars in our galaxy, 100 billion galaxies in the universe. And if all the galaxies are spaced about the same distance that Andromeda is from us, it's getting big. It's certainly a number that's just, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom numbers that big. I guess I don't see the slide that I'm looking for. I wanted to try to give you a feeling for how big a billion is. You know, you're throwing these big quadrillion numbers around. Well, you know, the budget for Massachusetts is about $24 billion. So, I mean, that's a number that we can get our arms around. Our state spends that much money every year. Bill Gates, you know, he's a billionaire. He's worth about $47 billion, maybe $50 billion. Okay. The Harry Potter author, she's become a billionaire. Okay, so you know that number we understand, but when we start getting bigger than that, it's hard for us to fathom the size of these numbers. Okay, so we've looked at the universe, we've looked at the galaxies, but let's focus a little bit more just close to home. The sun. All of this is to help us to appreciate the power and the strength and the invisible attributes of God who created all this. So let's just look at the sun. And I'm going to use the sun as an example to give us an idea how much matter God created when he spoke the universe into existence. Those of us who are trained in the science fields believe in the law of conservation of mass and energy. You know, we say matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Well, we say that in chemistry, but once we got into the nuclear world, we realized that you can convert mass into energy. So we have this law now that says that the total amount of mass and energy in the inverse universe is a constant number. So I want to give us a feel for how much mass and energy was created by God when he spoke the universe into existence. And the way we're going to do this, just look at our sun and see how much energy it's putting out. And just see how much mass is involved in our sun. And mass is a funny term, but just think of it as weight. You know, Kieran has more mass than I have. Randy has more mass than Kieran. You know, so it's weight. Okay. And yet God created a lot of mass compared to us sitting in this room here. Okay, our sun is 93 million miles away. And it's good, because if it was closer, we'd be toast. And that's not good. The thing that's interesting is that the sun has 2 times 10 to the 30th tons of matter. It's made up of that amount of material. Do you know what 10 to the 30th means? Some of you may. It's an easy way to write big numbers. That's a big number because it's zero. It's the number 2 with 30 zeros after. 10 to the 30th means, you know, 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10, 30 times. So that's 30 zeros after 2. And like I say, I was able to get up to quadrillions, but I don't know what you call it after that. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the mass or the weight of the sun. And its composition is 73% hydrogen and 25% helium and 2% other elements. So it's basically hydrogen and helium. 700 million tons per second of hydrogen is being consumed in our sun to produce the energy that's coming out of the sun. That's a big number, but remember that the amount of hydrogen that's there is a huge number. It's got that 10 to the 30th. So don't worry about the sun running out of hydrogen in your lifetime, or your children's lifetime, or your children's 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 children. Nope, don't worry about it. God's put a lot of hydrogen up there for us, and we don't have to worry about that. That hydrogen turns into helium. Now, sometimes people use the word that hydrogen is burning and producing helium. But that's not correct. When you burn hydrogen, you consume oxygen. Remember, I used to work in the rocket industry, and we used to use hydrogen and oxygen as a rocket fuel, and it produces water. Hydrogen plus oxygen makes water. Okay. But the reaction that's going on in our sun is hydrogen fusing to produce helium. And you notice what happens here? 700 million tons of hydrogen becomes 695 million tons per second of helium. Something doesn't add up. There's 5 million tons of matter missing. And Albert Einstein said E equals mc squared. E is energy, m is mass, 5 million tons per second, and c is the speed of light. That 186,000 miles per second squared. So a little bit of mass missing turned to energy is a huge amount of energy. And that's why there have been projects going on for 40, 50 years now to try to control this reaction, this fusion reaction. I mean, we have understood and developed the technology where we can take advantage of E equals mc squared in our nuclear power plants. When uranium splits by something called fission, which is different than fusion. Fusion means things go together. This hydrogen comes together and makes helium way less. When uranium fissions and breaks apart, the pieces that end up way less than the pieces you start out with, and that difference in mass gives you all the energy that you get out of a nuclear power plant. And that's a lot of energy, and so we have some nuclear power plants in this country. Europe has them, Japan has them, and some of our ships use them, our submarines use nuclear power, our aircraft carriers use nuclear power, because in a small amount of size you can generate a lot of energy. But if you could harness the fusion reaction, if you could harness like what the sun does, we'd really be in good shape, because we got a lot of hydrogen on this earth. It's in the form of water right now, but there's a lot of hydrogen. And we can get a lot of things. So I think the take-home message is that there's a lot of matter that was created just if you just alone look at our sun. And remember what I said? There's 100 billion of these in our galaxy. And there's 100 billion galaxies. And so we're just talking about a number that is incredibly large, and the amount of energy that's being produced by the matter that God has created is another huge, huge number. Well, what's amazing to me is this mighty God that we can see in what has been created has communicated to us. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So God has talked to us, and he's now talking to us through his Son. And then, by the way, it says his Son made the world. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul tells us, and he, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Creator. John tells us this. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Our Creator communicated to us in many diverse ways, dreams and visions. Ultimately, he came and took on the form of flesh. Eyeball to eyeball communication. The Creator of this grand, huge, magnificent, massive universe. But it even gets better. He died for us. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What an amazing God we have. He created this vast universe. He talks to us. He loves us. He sent his Son to die for us. Getting back to the original scripture I started out with, God is offering eternal life to us. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And how do we have the evidence for this? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Well, I hope this lesson tonight has not been too high, too far over your head. We've just touched the hem of the garment as far as, you know, looking at the universe. But I think just by looking at the little bit that we've looked at, we see how magnificent our God is. And we see the awesome nature and power of God. And his creation is a testimony for all of his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature. And God is a spirit. And we were created in his image. We have a spiritual component in us as well. And in creation, we were actually able to be in fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, we separate ourselves from God. We separate ourselves from our Creator. And this we call spiritual death, this separation. Is spiritual death. But God has not forgotten about us. In this vast universe that he's created, he's not forgotten about us. And he sent his Son to die for us so that our sins could be removed. And Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, to those believing Jews who realized that they had killed and murdered the Son of God. He told them to repent and to let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Karen, you have the song selected for this? Number 52. Turn to number 52. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Then I ask you, to respond like Ananias told Paul to respond. In Acts 22:16, he says, "Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." You're subject to this gospel message. Let's come forward as we stand and sing number 50.